So we're going to continue our series. We're going to wrap up here today, Resisting the Urge to Settle. And I named this message, The Strength to Be Content. So as we begin to focus on where we're going as a church, do we want to focus on church health? Do we want to focus on church growth? And the answer is probably both. We want to see both of those happening. But they're not necessarily connected. One does not necessarily lead to the other. Just because you are growing numerically doesn't mean you're a healthy church. And because you're a healthy church, it doesn't mean you're going to grow numerically. So we're going to focus on here first as a church on our health as a church. And that's one of the reasons why we have you filling out this form to get information about you. How many know that we have to love one another before we can love others? Right? We have to get along with one another before we can get along with others. And so we're going to practice on one another. Is that okay? How many know we need practice, right? Because we need to be involved in one another's life, right? We need to know what's going on. We need to ask for prayer when we need it. We need to follow up on people when we don't see them. We just got to learn how to love one another. And if we can do that, I believe God will begin to bring people here that are hurting and need to experience that love for themselves. Amen? Amen. All right, that was weak, but I'll take it. Amen. So the Apostle Paul gives us some advice on how to keep our priorities straight. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, he's talking about that we are not to pursue riches. How many know that the love of money can be what? The root of all evil, right? But before that, Paul writes, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we don't have to have abundance of things. We don't have a big bank account. We don't have to have a lot of possessions to be content. How many know that? Amen? We don't need those things. And if we go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, Paul is rejoicing with the church there. He is singing or giving praise to this church for their financial help as he was ministering in other places. He was a missionary. We support missionaries. What do? We pray for them and we give them money so that they can do what God has called them to do. And so the Philippian church was doing that for the Apostle Paul. And so in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Philippians, he said, I am not saying this. He's not thanking them to get more money. He said, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. How many of you like to know the secret? Amen. He's giving us a secret here. I have learned the secret of being content. And a lot of people need to know and discover this secret. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. Hallelujah. Right? No matter what you're going through, there should be a sense of contentment in your relationship with God. So, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want. I can do all things, some of the scriptures say, but Paul in the NIV says, I can do all this, what? Be content in any circumstance through him who gives me strength. And so we're going to look at three areas here today. We're going to look at who are you, what God has called you to do, and what do you think about our church? Those are some good questions that we need to kind of answer here. They're legitimate if we're going to avoid the urge of settling. So in Philippians 4:13, it is probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. It is taken out of context with the idea that we can do absolutely anything we want. So whatever we set up in our mind, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We do that. But what we're going to find out, it means quite the opposite. That when life isn't going the way you planned it or want it to go, guess what? We can still be content. It's not dependent on whether we fulfill our goals, our dreams, or the vision of our life. No, we can be content where we're at here today. As my wife told me throughout the ministry, bloom where you're planted. I'm not one that likes the bloomworm plant, all right? But she was one of those individuals. So that's good advice for us here this morning. So Paul wrote in verse 12, I have learned the secret. Basically, he's saying, I've learned the tricks of the trade. I have a secret ingredient for you that bake. For those who want a successful marriage or a happy marriage, right? There is a secret. I have learned the secret. And he shares it with us in this scripture. God has given you the strength to be content in any and every situation. So if I say that about five more times during this sermon, don't say, well, I heard that already. Because you need to hear it again and again and again and again until you believe it. So when things are going good, when your stomach is full, you're well fed, and you have plenty, the danger is sometimes that we're not satisfied with what we have. We always want more. So there's a discontent that can come in even when God's blessing us. But there is also when things aren't going so good, when we're hungry, when we're in want, and there's some things that we need in our life. We need to learn to be content in those circumstances because we have the most important thing in our lives, and that is Jesus Christ. So it is important to realize that if we are to be healthy individuals and a healthy church, being content with God, with how God made us and what He's called us to do, is of the utmost importance for us here this morning. Often when we talk about contentment, it's also often interpreted as settling. And settling sounds like giving up, right? Let me repeat that. Often, contentment is interpreted as settling, and settling sounds like giving up. Like we're resting on our laurels, or we're just floating along, but it's more than that. Biblical contentment is never an excuse for settling. Contentment can't be great gain without the accompaniment of godliness. You will never be content unless you are right with God. Giving up is never godly. Contentment does not equal the urge to settle. Contentment is not complacency. So some of you, listen to what I have to say here as we go through this sermon, and don't jump ahead of me and just say, I don't believe what you're saying. Because as Paul said, if you don't believe me, the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to you anyway, because you're wrong. All right. Contentment is not complacency. Sometimes it's just laziness or corruption, incompetence, stubbornness, selfishness. It can be all those things. But there is no contentment or godliness in any of those things. But He provides that for us if we will walk with Him. So it takes great strength to be content. It is not a weakness. For us to be content in the circumstances, the tough times, and even in the good times, it takes great strength to stay on track. God wants to give us the strength to be content in any and every situation, not to do anything and everything we want. So let's not take that scripture out of context here today. If God gives you that in the context of where you're going through, accept it. But let's not pull it out and just apply it where we want it. So we're going to talk about three areas that we need to have the strength to be content. Are you ready? All two of you. All right. Hallelujah. Where there's two or three, God's here. And so the rest of you are just visiting. All right. So number one, the contentment to accept who you are. Do you like the person who you see in the mirror?
Yes.
Point two, do you like the person you see in the mirror, okay? Are you thankful for the way God has made you? When you begin to ask people if there's anything in your life or anything about you that you would like to change, they can begin, without much thinking, begin to tell you what they don't like about themselves, about their looks, about who they are, their personality, whatever. It doesn't take much. But are you thankful for the way that God has made you? Thankfulness leads to contentment. We need to get to the place where we have an attitude of gratitude because our attitude is the trajectory of our life. If we don't like the person in the mirror, it's going to trip us up. If we believe that we are a child of God and we were made in His image, that we belong to Him, we've got to like the person looking back at us in the mirror. I'm not talking about being vain or egotistic. I'm saying you got to like what God's done. You are His workmanship. You are His creation. Some of you need to quote that stuff. Some of you need to believe that stuff. An unhealthy view of yourself leads you to a feelings of inadequacy. And when we're inadequate, what? We're ineffective. And if we are going to be part of the kingdom of God, we want to be spiritually effective. But we've got to like who we are. Who God made us to be. Many are determining their outlook on life, who they are, based on what others say on social media. That does not determine your worth. What bugs me when I get on Facebook is those that are fishing for worth. If you're my friend, write back. Or do this or do that. Don't fish for your worth. Don't find your worth in the opinions of others. Man, you're going to be disappointed. Because there are going to be people who like you and there are going to be people who don't like you. And there will be those who don't even care. And most people fall in the category, they don't even care. They're indifferent. Let's not let others determine who we are, how we define ourselves. Let's stop fishing. Let's get into the Word of God and see what God says about us and who we are and what He thinks about us. If you're not content within yourself, you will not be content with the people around you, and you will not be content with what's going on around you. If you're not in a right position with God and you don't think of yourself as God thinks of you, then everything's going to be out of kilter. If you don't like yourself, you're not going to like your situation. And you're not going to even like the people around you. Godliness, as we read there in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness helps us to keep a proper perspective of ourselves, who we are, what God thinks of us. God's word affirms us, church. It encourages us. It helps us. God did not come in wrath. God came in love. He didn't come with a stick. He came with a cross. For God so loved the world. So if you think God's out to get you, then you got a wrong perception of God. God came in love. He loves you, church. And we've got to come to that place this morning that you need to be content in who God created you to be. Maybe you need to get in the mirror and start confessing good things over you. I am a child of God. I am loved of God. I am blessed of God. I'm made in His image. I'm His son or His daughter. It begins there. Strength to be content. I never wanted a job where I stood up in front of people. But I had to get past the place of what people think, what I thought people think. Not that I don't give a rip, but I don't give a rip. Amen? So, if you're here this morning struggling with how God created you and what you see in the mirror, then you need some strength to be content. It takes strength. You are loved by God. We sang it. We sang it. Nobody loves you more than God. Secondly, the contentment to accept what God has called you to do. Numerous problems arise when we are discontented. The wants sometimes overshadow what you have and what you don't have. So what we wrestle with a lot of times is what we have and the have-nots. We look at over the fence, the grass is greener over there, right? But little do we know that it's just a septic tank on the other side. Because when we get to the other side and it's not where we're supposed to be, it is a septic tank. Hallelujah. It stinks when you're not in the place that God has created you to be. It's not healthy for you. Let's stop thinking about all the things we can't do, and let's concentrate on the things we can do. The sooner we accept how God makes us and equips us, the more content we're going to be. It's amazing the strength and the confidence that comes from knowing that you are in the center of God's will, that God, you are doing what God has called you to do. If you're a school teacher, we had school teachers up here. If you're called to be a teacher, that's the center of God's will for you, and you're going to be content in doing that job. If you're not content, if you're not happy, get a different job. Amen. Give everybody a break. But if it's where you're supposed to be, man, do all that you can to bless those kids. How many know kids need blessed today? We talked about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, no matter what the circumstances. Teachers, I know some of them have been put in some very difficult situations. But how many know you can still be content in the middle of those circumstances? Even though you may get be flack from the top, guess what? The kids are looking from below for some leadership, someone to guide them, someone to lead them. Be content that God has called you to be a light in a very dark place. So when you're running your race, you can't tap into somebody else's strength. How many know that? If you're running a race against others, wouldn't it be nice just to drain them of their of their strength and be able to tap into it? But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Do you not know, this is the Amplified, which is written by a woman, so that's why it's kind of more wordy. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run their very best to win, brackets, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. I don't know how many of you have been watching the preseason games, but as you watch these players, how many know they're fighting for a job? They're working for a job. And so they're not so much worried about winning a football game. They're about winning a position. And when they win that position, then they can worry about winning a game. And so that's what Paul's saying here, is that you're part of a team. You're part of a team. And we've got to win our position. We've got to win our place. You've got to know your place. You just can't join a football team and say, okay, whatever. No, you're assigned a position, and you better learn that position and stay in that position, or you won't have a job. Do you know that all race as runners, we are to run in such a way that you seize the prize and make it yours? Let's grab it. Let's win it. As I've been sharing to you, And I keep going back to this. I kind of feel like this is where God keeps leading me. It took me years of experimenting to find my fit, to find my place where I felt at home. Twice I walked away from ministry, from the fivefold ministry, and it slowly robbed me of my contentment. So I encourage you, find your lane. Stay in your lane. Get in. Buckle up, shut up, and hold on. Hang on. Amen? Find your place. Stay in your lane. I believe a lot of Christians are incomplete, feel incomplete, are not content because they are not doing what God has called them to do. The third one is contentment to accept the church as it is. So don't write me off on this one, all right? Listen to what I have to say. Sometimes we focus on what we do not have And we mismanage or neglect what we have. Because we're not focused on the blessings and the gifts that God has given us. When we focus on the things we wish our church was, we demoralize the church. We do more harm to the church, wanting something that God hasn't even placed within our midst. Tommy Barnett, the pastor of Phoenix First Assembly of God, has the philosophy of raising up leaders from within the church. And he uses this sermon theme of the woman with the jar of oil. If you are familiar with that story, she was poor. Her kids were ready to be taken away because she was in debt. They were going to take her kids as indentured servants to pay off the debt. And so she came to Elijah or Elisha. Okay, Elisha, one of the Elis, okay? And he asked, what's in your house, right? And she said, a little bit of oil. And so God multiplied that oil, and she was able to pay off her debt. So the theme of that is, what is in your house? What is in your church? A healthy church generates what? Leaders from within. Our churches are big enough. We don't have to import the help that we need. The help is already here. God has already blessed our church. I do not remember the good old days of Chapel on the Hill. I wasn't here. I wasn't around. I was born, but I wasn't around. That church will never be that church again. Do you realize that? That the people that were here, some of them are no longer here. Some have passed. Some have moved on. Whatever. So the church will never, ever be exactly the way it ever was. Many of you came in afterwards. Many of you are newer to the church. You weren't here at the founding of the church. But God has brought you here. I only know about today. I only understand where we're living today and who we've got here today. And I believe it is a good starting point. I don't want to go back in time. I want to move forward. There are plenty of factors that go into becoming a healthy church, and they're not easy to define. Sometimes we use numerical growth, numbers, as a primary indicator that the church is doing good or it's healthy. That is not necessarily true. A healthy church produces disciples who turn disciples into others. 2 Timothy 2:2. That is a healthy church. This morning, I want to tell you I am content with who I am, who God created me to be. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes my wife don't like who I am. Daniela always loves me for who I am. Because she's just like me. Amen. I am content with who I am. I'm content with what I'm doing. And I'm content where the church is. And some people struggle with that idea here today. I'm content with where we're at. But contentment is not complacency. It doesn't mean I want to stay where I'm at. And many of you feel the same way, but we need to accept the idea we are who we are. God has given us who he's given us, and we need to build from there. Let's stop wishing. Paul said, forgetting those things that lay behind, let's push forward to the new things that God has with us, with the new people that God has given this church. Some of us, You may not agree with that point of view here this morning, but that's okay. For our church to be healthy, we need some of you to experience the contentment that some of us already feel. And I don't know how many of that is, but I think Pastor Whitney and I are on the same page. We feel like we're in a good spot. A good spot to start from and to build on. Some people need to get over themselves and accept who God has made them. So if you're struggling here today with who you are, the person in the mirror, you need to get over yourself. God's got over you. He loves you where you're at this morning. He loves who you are. Not what will be. He loves us for who we are right now. Not that he wants to leave us there. But some of us need to get over ourselves. Some of us need to look in that mirror and say, begin confessing the word of God over our lives and what God says about us. Others need to step up to the plate and do what God is calling them to do. Numerical growth is the desire of the majority of the people in this church. I believe that most of us, I've been in churches where they didn't want to grow, because that would upset the status quo, that would upset the relationship balance, and they don't want other people coming in and take leadership positions. But numerical growth, I believe, is a desire of the majority of our church here, because numbers represent souls, people. Right? So that's a good thing. The more that God gives us, the more that we can disciple, and the more they can disciple others. Strength is needed to experience contentment. Contentment is not the urge to settle. If you're content to sit back and soak, more power to you. We welcome you here, right? Come, sit, soak, and sour, you know? If that's what you want to do, that's fine, okay? We'll let you do that. We want you here. But it takes strength to push past your inadequacies. It takes strength to accept what God is calling you to do. And it takes strength to help prepare our church for new ministries and numerical growth and spiritual health. Yes, it does. It takes strength for those things. So I've been preaching on a series, Resisting the Urge to Settle. We talked about seeing what God sees. We talked about Moses at the burning bush. God heard the cries of the people. He saw the people. He saw the needs. Moses did not. We need to see what God sees. Moses was a convert. He became the greatest intercessor for the people of Israel that ever was. He gave his life for those people. Last week we talked about the frog or the fire, right? We can settle, right? And we can die, like the poor frog. Or we can be led by the Holy Spirit, the fire that lives within us, the Holy Spirit and fire. We are baptized, not with just the Holy Spirit, but with fire. And this week we talked about the strength to be content. Folks, it takes a lot of strength. Because, man, we're tempted in so many different ways not to agree with the word of God about us, what we're called to do, and who our church is. Let's start speaking out in faith, living it out in faith, and trusting in faith that God has something wonderful for our church. Amen? Contentment. Let's search for it here this morning. If you'll play the guitar, please. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I'm not asking you to go to sleep. We're wrapping up. But if you're in this house today and you're wrestling with that person in the mirror, I'm asking you just to make a point, a stand here this morning, that from this moment on, I'm going to allow God and His Holy Spirit to convince me that I am valuable in His eyes. You are so valuable that He gave Himself for you. That He came to earth and died for you. He bought you. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. The price of Jesus Christ. Get to that place this morning. Lord, I need strength to be content about who You made me to be. I accept it this morning, Jesus. Secondly, maybe you're here today and you're looking and you're trying to say, well, I'd like to do this, 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 and this. Save yourself some time. I wish I would have years ago. Just spent time in the presence of God and just said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I experimented for years trying to figure it out. Instead of bowing my heart and my mind and allowing the Spirit of God to speak to me. Were they wasted years? No. They helped define who I am today. But let God tell you what He wants you to do. And a lot of what He wants you to do is already in you, and you already have interest in. If you like to work with kids, work with kids. Teenagers, young adults, adults, young, old. Maybe it's need-based, whatever it is. We need you to find your place so you can help us and that we can help you complete the mission that God's called you to. And lastly, let's not cut the church down. Let's see it for the value it is. We are a church that is blood-bought by Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. Are we perfect? Nope, we're not perfect. But we are called to move towards perfection. I believe we're called towards excellence, doing the best we can with what we have. And I believe as we step out in faith and do what we're called to do, God will pour out His blessings. We've been blessing a lot of people. And God's been blessing us back and back and back and back again. You can ask any one of our board meetings. We give a chunk of money out to bless somebody, and God gives it right back. It's kind of like that cruse of oil. We use some, and it's still there. We thank you, Lord.